thank you so much for praying for us as we went to Panama and Costa Rica. It almost went so well, it was scary because, man, we finished the building in like no time. I think I brought some pictures to show you back from our trip. It's kind of cool how we went. You guys paid to build a church for some Indians way down in Panama, and then God gave you a brand new playground. Isn't that kind of cool? You can't outgive God. I mean, that playground costs way more than the church we built, I'm sure. So that's kind of cool. So here's some pictures of these guys. This was the last day that we were there. Or actually, after we finished, we went to, we're not supposed to tell you this, but we went to some hot springs, and we found some and kind of chilled there, rode a water buffalo. It's a whole other story. But we found this place. It's called Lost and Found in a place called La Fortuna. We were looking for monkeys, but these are all the closest thing we could find, these guys right here. And that was kind of our team that went with. There were two other guys with us, a guy named Thomas from my old church, and his son, who was 15, met us there. They flew into Panama City. But that was our team that came from you guys, that you guys sent. It was Luigi, myself, Randall, Aaron, Lewis, Alex. And then this is Alex Taylor's son, the missionary's son. He lives there. He's 20 years old. He's probably about to go to university somewhere in Panama. And then, of course, Daniel down there looking. And but it was a great, great trip. I had a couple more pictures, and I'm going to have a couple guys come and share something with you. This guy is the pastor of the church that you guys built, that we built down there. We had to drive like hour and a half with four. It took longer before. You'll see later on, I got a picture of this RAV4 that Thomas rented. It was really kind of a girly car. It shouldn't have gone. And he actually had guys getting out of the truck, moving rocks out of his way to get there. And ours were kind of big and tough and you know, four-wheel drives. But we made it back there. And this is the pastor that lives there. His name is Pastor Abel. So I told him we would be praying for him. So you guys remember to pray for Pastor Abel, and he now has a P shirt. He's got a Providence Bible Church shirt, and there are some extra larges back there as well, guys. If you've been waiting on the extra larges, get those back there. And if you'd like one, just take one. We were thinking about selling them for $10 a piece, but we're not selling them. If you want one, just get it. And if you want to pay for one, put $10 in the plate. If you don't, no problem. I'd rather you wear the shirt. And what's cool about it is Daniel took some old glasses that he had, some old reading glasses, and actually someone that he cared about passed away. His mother-in-law passed away, and these were hers. And gave him to Pastor Abel, who's been out there for who knows how long, not being able to see. And it was amazing when he gave them to him. He gave them to him, asking him, saying, if you know anyone that needs them, you know, maybe you'll know somebody. And he puts them on himself, and he looks at his hand, and his eyes just light up. It's like probably the first time in years he's been able to see all the lines on his hand. And he was preaching that night. And the first thing he did, he opened his Bible, he put those glasses on, and was using those glasses to preach with. And it was really, really cool. But he was good. Let's see what the next one is there. And that's Daniel went with us. Now, Daniel is tons of faith. I mean, he showed up. I think he came up just a couple times to the Crab Shack and then came and said, hey, I want to go with you guys. He actually served for 3 years in the Peace Corps down there. And he's a builder, which was great to have someone there that knew what they were doing. He was a huge, huge blessing to us and knew Spanish. That was like a rule. If you know Spanish, you have to go with us the next time, because if I get lost without someone that speaks Spanish, I may end up in jail. And Lewis went with me, and I feel safer with Lewis for some reason. I shouldn't. I should probably feel more in danger, because we're more likely to get in trouble because we have a lot of fun. And Lewis went there, and we felt like the fence company. You know how the fence company, they put the fence up at your house, they always put their little sign on their building. So we tried to find a little inconspicuous spot to put a Providence Bible Church sticker up there, nailed it up there. It should last for at least a week down there. Who knows? But we now have a South Campus, Providence Bible Church South Campus. It's extreme south. It's down near the equator. So they're in Panama. And then let's see who we got next here. Who else went with us? Oh, Alex, man. Alex is actually riding the water buffalo for a buck. It was a dollar the guy charged us to ride the water buffalo. And it's an African water buffalo. We never could figure out how they got the thing all the way from Africa to Costa Rica, because we couldn't even get like a nail gun in. So I don't know how they got a water buffalo in. And I guess that's as good a time as any to go ahead and say, Alex, you're on the spot, but come tell us, take a couple minutes and tell us a little bit about your trip. You got to use this mic right here, though. You better... If it's on, this one on, make sure it's on. There, now it's on. I turned it on. There you go, buddy.
Hello, my name is Alex. This is my third trip that I've been going to between Panama and Costa Rica, and it's always a blessing. Just makes you realize how important everything is. I mean, the big things you think of that is really important and bother you every day, it's minor, it's nothing, compared to the people, what they have there and how they believe in Christ. And the other thing that I found really amazing is you can go anywhere in the world and you could always have something in common. Even if you don't speak the same language, you say Christ or Jesus, and everybody knows. We were talking about, we were doing an interview regards the Beatles. You know, we asked one of the Indians, one of the pastors, do you know the Beatles? It's like, who's the Beatles? I mean, we don't know him. We asked John Lennon. We said, Jesus. Hey, we know him.
Yeah.
So it's awesome. It's an awesome experience. If you ever get a chance, I think you everybody needs to get a chance to experience that. It's an awesome. It's a blessing.
Thanks, buddy. Good job. I had a better picture of Alex, I think. I think my next picture is actually better, a better picture of Alex. Let's see if it's on there. Yeah, there it is. We actually let him hold a hammer, but then he was holding it backwards. He never could even hold it the right way when he posted the picture. We tried to make it look like he was working, but for the most part, he was there to provide moral support. Actually, everybody worked really hard. I mean, there's no way to finish that building in 2.5 days without everybody just really busting it and really working hard. And this is my friend Luigi. Luigi had a very eventful week. Basically, he got baptized on Sunday, and on Tuesday, he was in Costa Rica, and it was pretty cool. So, but we had a blast with Luigi. And he could speak Spanish as well. That was one of the requirements for going. And so he was a blessing to all of us. Helped us at the end there, even as we were trying to get out of Panama. I felt good we could leave Luigi there because we were trying to pay exit taxes or something. And he helped a lot there. And it was just a blessing to get to know him. So Luigi, come share a little bit about your trip, buddy.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Luigi Montolio. This was my first trip to Panama, my first mission trip ever. Like Mike said, it was an eventful week for me. I baptized and then off to do some of God's work in South America. It was just an awesome experience to have. I would recommend anyone to do that if they could, to go and build a church or evangelize. Just go and spread God's word. Even on our first day when we were in Costa Rica, we had a one-day layover. We were driving through the roads, and it was nighttime. It was kind of rainy, and this one guy's car was literally in a hole, two wheels up. And it just so happened that we were there, seven strong guys, trying to help out. Just went in and pushed this guy's car out. I mean, God only knows what could have happened if we weren't there. He could, this poor gentleman in his vehicle, literally two wheels up in a hole in Costa Rica. But that just kind of set the whole, the tone for the whole trip. It was everywhere we went, we were given the opportunity to help and share God's word with everyone. One of the other things that occurred to us that was pretty amazing is Alex and I were in a store in Panama. We had gone down for supplies into the main, kind of like the main city, if you will. We had our mission shirts, and this lady tapped us in the shoulder. She said, oh, my husband and I would love to host you guys for, while you're here. It was just shows you she said the word needs to be spread here in Panama, that there's a hunger for it. But it was just awesome to show that just our mission shirts brought us to this lady who then helped us get closer to the airport on our way out, actually. So throughout the entire trip, it was just an amazing experience to see how God's work throughout the world. Amen. Thanks, Mike.
That's good. Yeah, that was really cool. Their name is Richard and Iris, or Iris Brolin, and she was born in Panama, and her husband's from North Carolina, and they retired and moved down there. It was kind of wild. They just asked them, so we just brought seven guys over to their house the other night, because they lived like 5 minutes from the airport when we were leaving. And they had a pool, and they cooked us hamburgers, and she made us an awesome breakfast. It was incredible. They just got back from a mission trip to China with a group called Visions Without Borders, which I want to get connected with them. And actually, what's kind of cool about that, too, is they are involved in planting a church in a barrio near David, which is a big city there. It doesn't even have a name yet. They're just getting leadership together. They're getting started. And we had money from our trip, so you guys, by virtue of giving to the trip, invested in that as well. So we invested and gave toward that church. So we're helping to plant two churches down there now. Really, it's kind of cool. And we're going to stay in touch with them and see what we can do to help them as well. But that was an amazing, amazing trip, too. Let's see, who's the next picture of here? You never can tell. Oh, it's my man, Aaron. And Aaron, he's doing the same thing he was doing last time, showing those kids his pictures. And I mean, they love Aaron down there, and I love having Aaron there. The kind of thing, funny thing is, like, Lewis, Aaron, and Daniel are the three guys early on and knew how to build stuff. The rest of us just handed them tools and did what they said. And we'd have never gotten anywhere if it wasn't. We'd still be there working on the building if it wasn't for those three guys. But Aaron, come share a little bit about the trip there.
Hey guys, I'm Aaron, and I don't know what to say about the trip. It's my second time to Panama, my second mission trip ever, and I can't wait to go back. The way people welcome you down there, the way you see so many people down there, just open to hear the word, and it's just amazing. The people down there, I'm learning a little bit more and more every time I go about them. It's just a different world. They have nothing. They absolutely don't have anything. Sometimes we all take for granted, what we have here. But all these people down there are just great. They're open. They're very welcoming. I mean, you got all these Americans that just come in and set up tents and in their area and just start camping out and doing our thing or whatever to get them in church, and just as happy as they can be with it. It's just so fulfilling to see how spreading the word, spreading the gospel to people, and they're so open to it, and it's just amazing. And these kids are just, the kids down there are just awesome. They just, you give them a stick and a rock, and they'll find something to do with for hours and hours. They're just, it's a beautiful country. All the people down there, even people that aren't from there, the people that we met, like Mike said, Iris and her husband, they just were in a grocery store, and they're like, "Yeah, y'all come on." And we had seven people in her house. And David, they had just met us, and they were just so open and so welcome to us. Alex Taylor and his family, they were so great. I probably ate better there than I've ate in a long time. We stayed out in the woods, and we had three hot meals a day, and then every time we turned around, they were bringing us fruit or coffee or, I went down there to lose a little bit of weight. I think I gained a few pounds. Just the people down there and just the way they welcome us and then they welcome God's word is just unbelievable. We could definitely use a lot of that attitude here in America, because just down there, it's just great. The people are nice. It's definitely cheaper. It's a good place to be. I just wanted to thank everybody that helped out financially. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you just for everything, for being a part of it. If anybody's ever thought about going on a trip, it's a no-brainer. You really need to go. You really need to go see what these pictures are made of, and just the surrounding areas and just the people. You'll never fully understand how important it is to go down and do God's work in another country, to a place where people haven't heard of them, or people might have heard a little bit but not really sure. But to go down there and evangelize and to talk to these people, there's a little bit of a language barrier for me, but that's the only thing I don't quite get, is I can't hear everything because I don't really understand Spanish, but I'm working on it. But you don't need the language. You just need to go and do what you can. And if you ever thought about it, go. I'd strongly encourage everybody to go, because it's definitely eye-opening, and it'll make you appreciate a lot of things you have a lot better. Thanks.
Okay. Good deal, man. Good deal. Yeah, I was just sitting here listening to Aaron and realized, this maybe we're going to be a missions just ate up with missions kind of church, and we're going to have more than, in fact, this has been more than, less than a year. Where he is right there is where we went last year, and you guys paid, and you guys sent every guy there, and we built a Bible training center to train local Waimea pastors. That's the tribe of Indians, and it's in this area right here. In fact, that's Ramon right there. He's the pastor of, in the red hat, he's the pastor of the church that meets there as well. And what Alex Taylor does, who you'll see in a little bit, he works with like 11 different churches and trains those pastors and helps them. They have no theological training, and Pastor Taylor does as well. But it's a great, great thing, and I like what Aaron's saying. I think every Christian should have a passport, and because you need to get out there and check it out. Oh, there's my man Randall. He bought this this bag from these ladies. That's who made it, and it was kind of cool. They all had them, but Randall was a blessing to go with us. It was the first time he's gone with us, and just come up and tell us about it, Randall. After we lost Thomas, you adopted the name Gringo Grande. We called him the
God
the
is good,
guy.
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
Apparently, I snore. I'm Randall, by the way. And I plan to learn Spanish before I go again next year, because I will go next year, because it was just so inspiring. But there was a lot of situations where I would see Luigi or Lewis or Alex talking with the Indians, and they'd be looking at me. It dawned on me till later they were trying to sell me to the Indians. The problem was that apparently from Lewis, he said that the Indians wouldn't buy me because I look like I eat too much. So anyway, it was awesome. We had a great time. It's really, you know, one of the mission statements on the back of the bulletin is change the world. And this is truly the first time I've ever felt like I was really out there changing the world. And just working with these guys was fantastic. I want to thank my wife. I know it was hard for her while I was gone, and my girls. And I want to thank the other spouses, because I know it's a sacrifice for you when we're gone. And it was just a blessing to us. It was a blessing to these people. There's so many interesting contrasts out there when you fly into Costa Rica. You've got these wide-open, beautiful volcanoes and spaces. And when you get downtown, there's bars and windows literally on everything. And then when you get to Panama and you get up into the mountains with the Indians, you've got these beautiful dresses that the Indian girls wear, like she's wearing there, and all the women wear these. And then you've got these huts that are literally just dirt floors and whatever materials they can find to build these huts with. So just such an interesting, and like Aaron said, we just so many things for us to be thankful for. I encourage all of you to take some time to go on a mission trip. And it'll just be such a blessing in your life, and you'll come back with a different perspective.
Hi. Let me see. I wonder what the next slide is there. We'll see where I am. Oh, yeah. It's time to jump into some book here. We've got about 15 minutes. We can knock it out, though. And, because too, we're just going to kind of talk a little bit. It's be a little bit different this morning. Well, that could have been very dangerous. Let's see how we do this here. If you have a Bible, I'd encourage you to open it to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. If you don't have a Bible, I encourage you to invest in one. And if you can't afford one, see me. I love buying Bibles for people. But I'd like for you to have one just to make sure you know that I'm not making stuff up and just putting words on a screen up here for you to tell you all about it. And we've been kind of in a series, kind of wrapping it up today. Next week, we're going to get back in our verse-by-verse study of the book of Matthew. It's a very interesting thing. We're going to talk about how faith, Mount Moving Faith next Sunday morning. But we're wrapping up our Rockstar series, and because it's been kind of interesting to see how someone that was born into such an obscure little village in the Middle East can become the most famous figure in all of history. I mentioned it before, and I'll go ahead and confess, even though it's to his church and all, and just be honest. And how many of you guys ever watch American Idol? Ever watch American Idol? Anybody? One, two, three, myself included. I'm right there with you. And that David Cook guy, that's who I want to win. But you get, I'm not voting or anything. I mean, I'm not that serious about it, but I think he should win. But the reason that I think America is enamored with American Idol is because it's kind of a cool story. You see people that were nobodies, except I think this guy actually had an album, but you see people that were nobodies become these huge stars, and you get to watch how it happens. It's not like all of a sudden there's just this famous person, but we realize these are people just like us that can sing a little bit better, and they make it. And it's amazing to watch the process and to see how that comes to be. And this morning when we look at the Bible, we're going to look at kind of the process of how Jesus has become the most famous figure really in all of history. Newsweek magazine, before the turn of the kind of the millennium there, they had an article, or they actually had a cover story about Jesus, about 2,000 years of Jesus. And the guy that wrote it is named Ken Woodward. It was the name, guy that wrote the article. And I just want to share with you the first paragraph or so of the article that he wrote. He said, "Historians did not record his birth, nor for 30 years did anyone pay him much heed. A Jew from the Galilean hill country with a reputation for teaching and healing, he showed up at the age of 33 in Jerusalem during Passover. In 3 days, he was arrested, tried, and convicted of treason, and executed like the commonest of criminals. His followers said that God raised him from the dead. Except among those who believed in him, the event passed without notice. 2,000 years later, the centuries themselves are measured by the birth of Jesus of Nazareth." I mean, today, Muslims are writing checks and they're dating them according to the fact that the Messiah, the true Messiah, was born 2,000 years ago. Atheists look at their watch and they see, and they're going to see that the date, the year is because of Jesus. The whole world is affected by the birth and by the life and ultimately by the death and resurrection of this man. He is the most famous figure in history. See, and I think in 2,000 years, I don't think anyone will be talking about Kelly Clarkson or David Cook or David Archuleta or anyone like that. But here we are 2,000 years later talking about a man that was born to peasants in an obscure town in the Middle East, grew up as a carpenter. First 30 years of his life, there's almost no record, not even a fully detailed record of 3 years of his life. We just have the highlights of 3 years of his life. And yet here we sit today, and all around this world there are people that are gathered to worship him. He's the most famous figure in history. H.G. Wells said this about him, the guy that wrote War of the Worlds. He wasn't even a Christian. He said this. He said, "I am a historian. I'm not a believer. But I must confess as a historian that this penniless preacher from Nazareth is irrevocably the very center of history. Jesus Christ is easily the most dominant figure in all of history." A Christian historian, Kenneth Scott Latteray, I think is how you say his name, said this, "As the centuries passed, the evidence is accumulating that measured by his effect on history, Jesus is the most influential life ever lived on this planet." Then a little French guy named Napoleon said this about him. He said, "I know men, and I tell you that Jesus Christ is no mere man. Between him and every other person in the world, there is no possible term of comparison. Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I have founded empires. But on what did we rest the creation of our genius?" He was humble too. "Upon force. Jesus Christ founded his empire on love. And at this hour, millions of men would die for him." Jesus never ran for political office, yet thousands of people follow him. He never went to college to get a degree in psychology, yet more people have been helped by him than they've been helped by psychologists and therapists throughout history. He never wrote a book, yet today the Library of Congress contains 17,000 books about him, more than twice the number about any other figure in history. The closest that comes to him is William Shakespeare, and he has less than half that many. Books written about him. He's the most dominant figure in all of history. How did this happen? How did he get this way? Well, we're going to look at a text today that we looked at about 12 or 13 weeks ago. And we may just look at it once every 12 or 13 weeks because I don't ever want us to forget what church is supposed to be about, what our mission is. Because our mission is not just this. Our mission is not to get a building, although if the Lord gives us one, that's going to be great. Our mission is not to grow a bigger church, but we want to do that if it involves reaching people. Our mission is to change the world. Our mission is to make disciples of all nations. That's the mission that Jesus left his church in Matthew chapter 28. Join me and we'll look just real quickly and we'll see why in the world, how Jesus ended up being so famous. And it's because people followed his plan. Look at Matthew chapter 28. I mean, ultimately it's because he's God. But what he's done is he's died. He's gone back. He's told his disciples, "I want you to go to this mountain and wait for me there." And in Matthew chapter 28, verse 16, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them." They just obeyed him, and they went, and they're waiting. And then he shows up. "And when they saw him, they worshiped him." Same thing we're doing today. "But some doubted." Man, think about that for a moment. But We'll move on. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." He didn't say start a club. He didn't say do something to keep your kids entertained. He didn't say feel like you're better than everybody else. He didn't say go tell everybody how to vote. He said go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Again, he put himself completely equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit because he is God come in the flesh. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. This is how you make a disciple. You teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. And this morning, just real briefly, we're going to look and see the three things these people did and the three things people have been doing throughout history for the last 2,000 years are the reason that Jesus is as famous as he is today. It's all about Jesus. This is all about Jesus. And for 2,000 years, people have been doing what 11 guys started doing in Matthew chapter 28. I mean, think about that. Have you read about these guys? Have you seen them? They're fishermen. Some of them, half of them, I've asked you to name all 11. You probably couldn't do it because you haven't heard of half of them, really. We know Peter, James, John, Andrew, those guys. But, I mean, Nathaniel, I mean, come on. You don't know these other guys. We don't know anything about them. And these are the guys that he leaves the whole deal with. They're guys just like you and like me. They're people that you wouldn't expect that would be the beginning stages of a world-changing revolution. Yet this is who Jesus leaves it with. And he's left it now with Bob. And he's left it with Adam. And he's left it with Mike. And it's been passed on to us. And so now here we sit. Because of what these guys started. And these three things they're doing, the same thing three things we're doing today, the same three things they're doing in Panama, the same three things they're doing in Chile, the same three things they're doing in Romania, the same three things. The first thing they did, for 2,000 years, people have been worshiping Jesus. Look at verse 16 again. So they're on the mountain, and in verse 17, when they saw him, the only proper response when you see Jesus is worship. They worshiped him. And worshiping God is not only singing, it's how you live. It's responding to God in the way that he deserves. When you see how great he is, it's responding in the way that's appropriate. It's how you worship is singing is part of it, but it's the attitude of your heart toward him. It's what you give to God. It's your service as well when you leave this place, and it's how you love your family. It's how you care for your neighbors. It's when you give as an act of worship. These people were worshiping. When they saw him, they worshiped. But some of them were even doubtful. Some of them weren't even sure it was him. It's the same thing we've been doing. We saw the same thing happen. Let me show you the next picture. When we went to Panama. It was kind of cool. We built this church. It was supposed to be finished at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. They had the service scheduled. It didn't work, but about 6 o'clock, we got started. And I don't know how they even heard. They didn't have phones. All of a sudden, these people came out from the woods, and there were about 60 Indians just showed up, and they had like a 2.5-hour worship service, and they were singing, and they were praising God, and they were studying his word, and they were worshiping Jesus, just like we're doing here, all over. We were doing this time last week. We were sitting on top of a mountain, weren't we? We were reading Psalm 19. We were singing. It was kind of bad with us 7 guys singing. It was good music this morning, wasn't it? But we were appreciative of it. We took all the bad music down there with us, and they had me. And so that's what it was. But we were singing how great is our God on top of a mountain and just worshiping him, because that's the only response when you see who Jesus is. They worshiped him. They worshiped him because he's God. Colossians chapter 1 tells us about Jesus. See, Jesus didn't just all of a sudden show up on the scene. He's always existed. In fact, he's intimately involved in creation. And I just want to share this verse with you, and you can dig into it some more later. But just check this out, what it says about Jesus. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, it says that he is the image of the invisible God. He is God of very gods. The firstborn, that means he is the preeminent one, not that he was a created being of God, but the firstborn of all creation. See, Paul's writing to this church at Colossae, and there were some false teachers that came in that taught that Jesus was just an emanation of God, that he was just a created being, that he was less than God, that he was just one of many ways to God and not the exclusive way to God. And Paul's writing, correcting that false teaching, says, no, he is not just a God, but he is the very physical representation of the one, the only God. For by him, speaking of Jesus, all things were created, everything. The chair that you're sitting on, the material it was made out of, created by Jesus. The tile of this floor, I don't know where they make tile out of. Tile trees or something? I don't even know where they got this stuff from. But whatever it is, sand, plastic, dirt, the walls here, the rock, wherever they got the sheetrock stuff, the gypsum to make the boards from, Jesus spoke it into existence, created it. The wood and those doors he made. There's nothing you can see that Jesus didn't create. He created all things, whether the things in the heaven, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things. He's the preeminent one. And in him, all things hold together. What keeps the whole universe together? What keeps atoms from just flying apart? What keeps us here on this earth? What keeps your heart beating? What keeps the neurons firing in your brain? The Bible says it's Jesus. And this is all about him. And what we're supposed to be doing is telling people about how great he is. It's interesting, I didn't put it on there, but the next verse says that he is the head of the body, the church. Jesus is the head of the church. He's the pastor of the church. He's the leader of the church. And he's who we all follow. It's his church. It's his deal. It's all about him. And we should be worshiping him. And so we come here. We wanted to come here and make sure we focus on Jesus. Make sure we worship him. My question for you this morning, just real quick, one of three. Do you worship him? I mean, really, in your life, do you worship Jesus? Do you recognize him for who he is? Have you ever come to a place in your life where you realized, I'm a sinner and I've violated his law and I've broken his law and I can't be forgiven if he doesn't do it for me because I can't be good enough to get forgiveness? Have you turned from your sin and placed your faith in him? And do you come to him and recognize him as God and worship him? The second thing they've been doing for 2,000 years is they've been obeying Jesus. In Matthew 28, they've been obeying Jesus. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority. He says, I'm the one in charge. I'm running the show. All authority has been given to me. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to go, therefore, and make disciples. Go and do this. All authority has been given to me. I'm Lord. I'm ruler. That means that when we come to Jesus, we don't come to him telling him what we want him to do, but we come to him saying, what do you want me to do? You're in charge. You are Lord. And what he told us to do is to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that he commanded. That's what our job is supposed to be. That's what we're supposed to be doing as a church. It's what we're supposed to be about. And I don't want us to get off that. It's going to be easy to get distracted. I want us to stay focused, laser focused on that. We're all about seeing people who are far from God come to know God and grow in God. That's why we have small groups. Because we want you to connect with people. We want you to connect with God's word. We want you to grow in your faith in him. That's why we go on mission trips. That's why we get involved in the community, because we want to do what these verses say. That's what we're commanded to do in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, right? Jesus said, you're to go into all the world, and you're going to be my witnesses right here in the immediate area, but also around the world. And people are doing it. They've been doing it for centuries. We saw people doing it. Let me show you the next picture here, if we've got it here. Let me see a picture. Just throw up any picture. There we go. That's a good one. Here's one right here. In Costa Rica, there's Lighthouse Children's Home. Sally McWaters. Well, actually, her name is Sally Sanders now. She got married last year for the first time. And she got married last year. And Terry Sanders, and she works with 20 children. She's been there for 18 years working in this children's home in Costa Rica. They just take kids in off the street. And she does it out of obedience to Jesus. She's obeying Jesus. Jesus said that you were to care for the fatherless and the widows. Paul said that. And Jesus, when he came, children were treated as just kind of an extra thing. They weren't really valued. And Jesus takes them and puts them on his knee and says, you guys have to become like them in order to make it the kingdom of heaven. Placed a high value and priority on children. And because of Sally's following him and Larry Neff's following him, there's a home in Costa Rica. There's one in India and one in Mississippi as well. But these children, some of them, their parents left them there when they were just babies. Some of them came later. Their parents financially couldn't help. Some of them have no parents. And now they have a home where they're taught English. They grow up and they stay there until they're ready to move on. It's not like they get 18, they kick them out. They get to hang around until they're ready to move on. A couple of them gotten a scholarship to actually a college in Oklahoma. And a couple of them that I knew from a few years back. This is an amazing, amazing place. Have a couple special needs kids there, Kevin and Dito, and they're just, it's a loving place. That's what happens when people obey Jesus. It affects other people. It changes the world. Is there another picture there? I can't remember if it did that. I think that's it. But see, when we obey Jesus and we say, Jesus, we're not just here to study your word. We're not just here to learn so we know how to fill in the blanks. But Jesus, we want to actually do what you tell us to do. It forces you to get in uncomfortable situations. It forces you to help people. It makes you make a difference in the world. And it's because people have been doing this time and time again that's been happening. Because when we say that he is Lord, like Romans 10:13 says, we do what he says. Here's my second question for you. Do you obey Jesus? I mean, really, do you obey him? I mean, when you read the word and he tells you this is what you're supposed to be doing, do you do that? If you're a Christian, this is our command from him. And if we're not doing what we're commanded to go and make disciples, are you actively involved in doing that? If you're not, the Bible says you're disobedient. The Bible says that's sin. It's a sin to know about Jesus and keep it to yourself. He's the best thing that's ever happened in the world, and we need to share that with other people. The third thing they've been doing is they've been trusting Jesus. The last thing that he said there is that I'm with you always, even the end of the age. No matter where you go, I'll be with you, and you can trust me is the implication there. They've been trusting Jesus. That's what these guys are doing. Let me show you a picture of a guy that's trusting Jesus right here, I think. I've got it. Here's a person that's trusting Jesus, believes he's with him wherever he goes. If it'll come up here. There it is. That's not it. Was it the one back there? That's one person that is. Did that not work? I got the wrong. Oh, that is a guy. That's Spencer, man. That's our friend Spencer Bolter. He was a youth pastor right at the road at Cross Creek Church, and he left here a couple of years ago. I met him in a Loop restaurant one time, and he took his family down to Costa Rica. He lives in Alajuelita, which is one of the poorest parts of San Jose, and he has a ministry there. And man, God, he just went by faith. Didn't know what he was going to do. Was going to language school. This other man was down there retired that had a place that can house American missionaries, like 30 or anybody really, has room for like 30 to 35 people. And he charges just like $150 a week for room and board. Has tons of contacts in the ministry. You go there, you can build a house, you can do vacation Bible school. They feed you. They take care of you. And Spencer and his family have a phenomenal ministry down there now. They're hosting teams. And what they're doing, they're connecting people from America like us with Costa Ricans. And it's making a huge impact on that society. But he just went down trusting Jesus that he would provide. And he did. And he has. It's an amazing, amazing thing what God's done through him. Another guy that's doing something here. Let's see the next one. I think it might be Mirtha. Mirtha or Alex. That's Alex Taylor. This is our friend that's the pastor down there in Costa Rica, oversees 11 churches as well. But his dad moved from Jamaica to Costa Rica when he was a baby. And he became a Christian, and he planted 5 churches in Costa Rica, handed them off to other leadership. He's 56 years old now, was kind of getting near the end of ministry, should have just kicked back and took it easy, but met these Waimea Indians and had a heart for them, and moved his family from Costa Rica as a missionary to Panama. And now he lives in this house. They've got bunk beds everywhere, and he's just down there by faith. He came through here. We support him a little bit, but he really is probably living on about 85% of the support that he needs and just trusting God to provide for him. One of the other things that we're going to do is some leftover money that we had from the budget, well, leftover budget-wise, at least from the mission trip. He needed a video projector to go and show for he can go in these villages and show a video. He's got the Jesus video, all these great videos in Spanish or language that the Indians can understand. And if he can take that in that town, man, they're going to go way back up in these mountains and take it to them. It's going to be incredible. It'll be the first movie some of them have ever seen in their life. Wouldn't it be great for the first thing they see to be about Jesus? I think it'd be awesome. So he's going to go help them that way. And part of what we give today is going to help go toward that as well. We tagged the Land Rover there with the ProvidenceBibleChurch.com sticker up there. You see that? We got those everywhere. But so he's down there by faith. Miss Mirtha is there by faith, his wife, on the next picture. And she teaches the children. And it was kind of cool. We wanted to buy them a gift for hosting us and taking such good care of us. And when we did that, we asked her son, Alex, what we could give them. And she said, and we asked her about a dress. She said, that'd be great. This is one of these Native Indian kind of dresses. And she's been borrowing one. They cost $40, but she doesn't have $40 to buy one. She's been borrowing one from these people, from a sister there whenever she would teach them. And it gives her a great door of opportunity and an inroad to talk to them as well. So you guys helped get her one of those. And but that's kind of the deal there. And it's just trusting Jesus. When you trust Jesus, you're going to take risks for Jesus. Here's the deal. With Christianity, unlike most religions, Christianity has no place, no language, no race or culture that serves as a center to hold it together. Christians share no worldwide headquarters, no common language, no common cultural framework. The only thing that holds all of Christianity is the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who's alive today. You ask those Indians who Elvis is, they don't know.